Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast, brought to you by Make Lemonade. And today we continue with the trend of not having everything done through SEO and content strategies and display ads and affiliate. And we go down the road of a coaching or service-based business that's making six figures and how you're able to build something like this from scratch without the use of SEO. And we have Matt Fillion here. He is the owner of Primal Mobility. Essentially, he has a service of coaches coaching people one-on-one or in a group setting for mobility training. But then he's also branched into educating coaches as well with a certification, which is interesting, which you can kind of get an idea of what's involved in that. We also go down the road of sponsoring athletes or sponsoring influencers or even influencer marketing, if maybe that's something you're thinking about doing for your brand. And we go into kind of the pros and cons of that. He started with a brand ambassador program that he scrapped, and he explains why in the podcast as well. But we also go into building a community, how he's leveraged a community, how he's built his own community through free challenges. And I think that's applicable to anyone with a niche site and any niche as a way to build a community that you can monetize is through free challenges, which is really interesting. And we just talk general business around, you know, what he's built and around services. So if you're in the area of, a service-based business or a coaching-based business, this would be good for you. But even if you're not, even if you're in display ads and affiliate, there's a lot to take from this that you can implement into your site. So sit back and enjoy.
Are you ready to get serious about building a profitable brand online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online business. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. This podcast is brought to you by Make Lemonade. Whether you've launched your business yesterday or you're already a market leader, Make Lemonade will help you rule your world. Head over to makelemonade.agency/show for the latest offers on our services. Let's do this.
All right. Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast, brought to you by Make Lemonade. And today we have Matt Philly. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
No, thank you for coming on. So I think this would be interesting for the listeners as well. I think if people are regular listeners to this podcast, you would have heard from a range of guests, not just website builders who are doing display ad affiliate through SEO, but a lot of people in other businesses who are building online businesses, without SEO or through other channels. So maybe for you, Matt, it'll be a good place to start, you know, your company, what you're doing, and then we can dive into essentially everything around it.
Yeah, for sure. So we are a mobility coaching company, and we focus on coaching itself as well as education. So we not only help athletes, specifically barbell athletes, that is our main demographic, improve their performance and reduce any pain and potential injury risk, but we also educate coaches, barbell related coaches, so CrossFit coaches, weightlifting coaches, powerlifting coaches. We educate them how to understand the nuances of movement, how to break down the movement mechanics in more defined patterns, and then how to understand how to isolate the biomechanics and build strength within them there to be able to make progress and improve the particular patterns as well. So we focus on coaching as well as education in our business.
Nice. Okay, so I think what might be, or a good place to start would be the very beginning of you starting Primal Mobility. And was it because you didn't grow this thing through SEO or through a content strategy, you grow it a different way. So do you want to maybe start with how you managed to get this thing off the ground and start acquiring customers? And were you the one coaching in the beginning?
Yes, actually. So I was solo. Primal Mobility was Matt Philly early on in the beginning. And honestly, the growth pattern was very chaotic. At the beginning, there was absolutely no structure, no strategy. I was just a coach who had no business experience and was just hungry. And I think that that's kind of what drove any growth that we did have, was the, like, the scrappiness that I had in terms of I'll do anything and I'll make it work. That was kind of the perspective I had going into it. And the way it was basically just early on, I thought that social media was going to be the answer to my growth in general. So I would put all my attention into social. I put all my attention into finding ways to leverage other people. So I didn't come into business with a lot of connections in the industry. I came into it with just a diehard passion for what I was doing. And I knew that I've always been relatively resourceful and, as I said, scrappy. So kind of like the do anything to make it work mentality. And I knew that I had to leverage other people who had the connections to be able to help me grow a little bit and get my name out there and help me build some exposure. And so that's kind of where it all started. And then from there, there was a physical therapist in North Carolina that had heard about us and what we were doing. And we were supporting, I'm so used to saying we now. I was supporting one of their patients with her knee pain, and we saw some drastic improvements in her knee pain. And then she went on to be able to compete at a very high level without pain. She was already competing at a very high level. I was helping her perform without the pain. And so from there, one of the PTs reached out to me and said, I don't know what you're doing. We've been working on this for a really long time with her and with no progress. I don't know what you're doing, but I need to be a part of it. And so from right there, that kind of opened my eyes to there's opportunity to start growing in different directions. And then from there, it just kind of blew my mind open as to what's possible in a business perspective. And, you know, from there, we just kind of let the snowball grow. And now we're kind of in the direction of educating professionals, like we educate coaches as well as physical therapists. And to me, that's honestly mind blowing to think about.
Yeah, no, nice. That sounds like a nice progression. We'll dive into that in a bit. But regarding the social in the beginning, was there a specific platform that you tried to leverage, or would you just try to spread yourself over every social platform you could?
It was very specific to Instagram. Like, I don't think I touched another platform for 3 years.
So it was 3 years of constant Instagram posting. What kind of content allowed you to start to scale?
Well, I think what was special was early on, I was kind of doing things that weren't being talked about very frequently. And I think that that's kind of like one component of being very successful, is kind of showing up early and landing on an opportunity before it's saturated, right? So I think that played in my favor for sure, is that I was talking about something that was not very public in social media at the time. So I kind of came out early on, which was great. But it was all Instagram, and I spent a lot of energy towards that. And the content was mostly, like, early on, very, very nervous behind the camera. Terrified, honestly. There was a lot of anxiety around
that. We've all been through that.
Right. So a lot of anxiety, and so I wouldn't post many videos. And if I did post videos, I would never be talking. I guess that's kind of the growth that a lot of people go through. It's like you get to a point where it's like, fuck, pardon me, I don't know if I can curse on this show, but that's kind of like the perspective, is like, fuck, I'm not going to grow if I don't step up a little bit. And either you get complacent and just get comfortable in the position that you're in and the current state that you're in, or you get to a point where it's like, it's time to level up and just get uncomfortable anyways. And that's kind of the position I found myself in, was like, I don't care if I'm uncomfortable anymore. I care about growth.
Yeah. I remember, I think it must've been 10 or so years ago now, when I was trying to do my very first video. It literally took me two or three hours to film one exercise video. I couldn't say a damn line. I would just literally forget the line. We even had it written on a whiteboard, and I still, like, I think that's what people go through when they start with video. But then eventually you get to a point, like, I could just one take a 5-minute video.
Man, Yeah, for sure.
But it just takes time.
I agree.
Just takes time.
I remember the first time I went live. So I was watching a YouTube or something from somebody who specializes in Instagram, and they're like, you need to go live. This is just what the platform wants you to do right now. And they're like, when you're watching this video, I don't care. Make a story on your Instagram right now and say you're going live in 5 minutes. So I did it, and I was like, yeah, I felt all motivated and inspired from this person on the YouTube. And then I stopped the YouTube video and I was like, shit, I have to go live in like 3 minutes now. What am I even going to talk about? So I decided I was going to talk about my three main thoughts on massage guns. And I was going to go live and just chat about that. And I remember I started the live video and I just froze. And you just see like people signing in and watching. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I hope people stop signing in. This is terrifying and really embarrassing. And it was like, I swear to God, it must have been a minimum of 30 seconds where I'm not saying a word, just looking at the phone. And so that was embarrassing. But it was a good moment because it was like, there's only up from here, honestly. I can't fail worse than that in public.
Yeah, can't get worse. Yeah. No, for sure. Did you leverage YouTube in the beginning as well, along with the Instagram, or was it just the Instagram?
We've only recently started playing on YouTube.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll dive into that in a bit. But I think what's interesting as well around your business and what people might take away from it is how niche you went. You're specifically doing mobility for strength, basically for strength athletes. And strength sports, it's been growing in popularity year over year, especially with things like CrossFit. They got really big, and then weightlifting has become even bigger because of that. And then a lot of people, I guess, joining fitness is kind of growing those strength sports as well. But what made you go into, or what made you choose strength sports specifically and not something that's maybe bigger like running or, I don't know, something that's just more, I guess, encompassing of the general population?
That's a good question. I think the majority of it came down to what I was interested and passionate about at the time. And I'm still very passionate about these things, but some, like the barbell always spoke to me, and I always understood it. And I always understood that the barbell can place specific demands on the body. And if people aren't following those rules that the barbell is going to place on the individual's body, they're going to start compensating in some ways, causing issues, symptoms, whatever. So my thoughts around it, I believe at the time, were just passion driven. It was what I was interested in. It was something that I wouldn't struggle to continue learning on. And I was invested in it as well. I was surrounded by it. So I had done weightlifting, I had done powerlifting, I had done CrossFit. All of these things had the barbell in common. And I just decided to choose one, which was whatever I was most into at the time, which was CrossFit. So I just dove far deeper into the CrossFit space.
Nice. So how big is the business now? Are you able to share anything, maybe how big your team is? Just ballpark revenue numbers, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we are at 400K roughly per year at this point. And the team, we have 7 coaches as well as 3 or 4 other individuals on the back end. So we're a team of 10 or 11 doing all sorts of cool shit at this point. So that's kind of the size of the company now. And we have nice, very big ambitions to make this something very special just because of how niche it is the fact that there's not too many playing this game right now. And we have an opportunity to set ourselves apart and also kind of revolutionize the industry in a way and bring something to the market that has not necessarily yet been created.
Yeah. And obviously around the coaching side as well, and just monetization in general. So I know you've got, I guess, a subscription app, you've got one-on-one stuff. Do you maybe dive into how the business actually makes money?
Yeah. So the way I like to look at it personally, again, I moved away from coaching like about a year ago now. So the role I take on is mostly development, like business development, coming up with laying the foundation and laying the direction towards the vision and making sure that the vision is clear for the team. But the way we make money now, and the way I like to look at it, is that like the, and this is strictly from a bit like the company's perspective, the coaching side of things, so one-on-one and group coaching, is our more of like our passive revenue. And then the education side of things, we do this cohort based. So we take in students every few months, and then we bring them through the certification process and mentor them as well. So we teach them how to build a business around the subject matter that we're teaching them. And that's more of like the active revenue side of things. So we need to be very active in developing that, especially because it's so new. And as of right now, it's still very refined and intimate experience. We're not at the point yet of trying to scale that, simply because we haven't yet discovered the best approach in terms of how we should be delivering the experience. And so we're refining all of that. And then once we get to that point, that'll be a little bit more automated, a little bit more streamlined, where we can bring in more people to help support. And then we'll be scaling that as well. So as of right now, we have like kind of a passive side of things for the company, where the company is generating leads at this point and bringing in individuals for the coaching side of things. And then the active income is the education.
Nice. So with the coaching side, is it only one-on-one, or do you have another, say, subscription app that doesn't require a coach? Because I'm assuming, because for you to scale on that side, you just have to hire more coaches, right? Because obviously there's capacity with each coach.
Correct. Exactly. So we want to be different, and the way we're doing it is not subscription based. So everyone that comes in is paired up with a coach. However, we have different options. So we have the one-on-one option, which is going to be a personalized program, personalized entirely the experience. And then there's the group option as well, which everyone in the group coaching option is following the same program. However, they are also paired with a coach. So they are guided. They have somebody for like mentorship, guidance, information, the why behind things, what might be happening if you're feeling pain or potential injuries. We're there to guide you and give you information and point you in the right direction. And, you know, a couple unofficial mentors that I've followed for many, many years, a lot of people in that space will basically say that there's no benefit to being the second most expensive or the like the second cheapest in the market, right? So we kind of aim to be on the more premium side of things so that we can take in less people as well as offer a more premium side of the experience as well. So I'd prefer to be way up there and find ways to just be a better company and give people the best experience possible than to try and aim for something a little bit cheaper. So we didn't go the subscription app direction, and we were asked many, 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 many times if we could put something a little bit cheaper together, but that was not the direction we want to go.
No, nice. I like that. I like that idea. And it's almost like a higher ticket service you're able to provide, and you're able to be, I guess the clients and leads you get are typically better qualified for what you want to do anyway, versus having people come in at cheaper price points and complaining about this and complaining about that. So I guess you save yourself a headache.
For sure. And I mean, everyone wins when the price point is a little bit higher. Of course, the client is going to be paying a little bit more, but when they pay more, they invest their attention a little bit more. They're paying attention. Yes. They're going to do the work more frequently. And that just results in better results, right? It just leads to more consistency to the work, more compliance to the program, and just greater results all around. So the client wins at a much higher rate, and so does the coach, and so does the company. So everyone wins in that regard, in my opinion.
Yeah, nice. And what's interesting as well is you obviously have that coaching side for the athlete, but then you have the, I guess, certification or coaching or mentoring side that's geared towards more of the business owner or physical therapist or whoever it is. What steered you down that road instead of doubling down on, say, coaching mobility for the athletes? Now you're coaching almost the coaches on this side. So where did that transition come?
So it was about 2 years ago at this point, because it took us a while to put together that course too. It took us about a year and almost a year and a half to put together that course, like 16-ish months. So it was about 2 years ago that I started ruminating on thoughts of like, I started seeing in the industry that we're making a splash, we're making a wave. And there was something there that was just telling me that what we're doing is quite unique. And there's something special that we have behind our protocol, our methodology, and more people need access to this because we're seeing people go to physical therapy for months, weeks, months, years, and not seeing much progress with their pain or performance, and coming to us and within a few weeks they're seeing progress, and simply all we're doing is addressing strength in their joints. So I knew that what we had was really special, and it's important for me to, at that point, the perspective was to get this out there and have more people experience what we're doing. So I had to start thinking of ways of like, how are we going to expand and scale our impact on the industry? And that kind of led me down the rabbit hole of we need to educate coaches as opposed to just hoping we bring in more clients or putting effort in to bring more clients and just do it ourselves. We can really change the world if we do this with other people.
Has this also now become like a lead generation, I guess, aspect for you to be able to hire more coaches? So essentially you're training them on your systems and then you can hire them straight from people that
100%. Yeah. And now we actually, this course wasn't always around when we first started hiring coaches, right? So there was a very manual process in terms of educating them, as well as just going through the process of teaching them the methodology and how to be a good coach online and all this other stuff. But now it's like a prerequisite. If you want to be a part of our team, we haven't even hired yet as a result. But if you want to be a part of our team, you have to have graduated you have to be Primal Mobility certified first.
Nice. Yeah, that's such a nice funnel for yourself to be able to, I mean, then you just have endless supply of people trained exactly in what you want to do. And then you scale that side, then you're able to scale the coaching side and it just all feeds each other. I really like that.
It's an interesting funnel for sure. And everything kind of feeds within itself because a client will come in and spend a few months with us, see amazing progress, and then just become passionate or very curious at first, very curious about what we're doing and how the efforts that they're putting in and the coach is putting in are culminating into these results that they're achieving. And then they become curious and want to become a student. So it's kind of like everything's funneling within itself. It's very interesting how it all works out. But that wasn't the initial plan. But the way we've structured things, first for sure. But the way we've structured things now is intentional that we're making it such.
Nice. And you obviously mentioned about the certification. What's the process of creating a certification? Is that... That's not just like I give you a certificate at the end of the course, right? It has to be certified through a certain organization.
So yeah, there's processes between making sure that you are, I don't know the term you'd want to use, like accredited or something through like other bigger governing bodies. So like NASM and CrossFit and, you know, USAW and whatever else, to make sure that you are recognized as like CEUs, continued education units. And that's one of the biggest things, I think. And that's the whole process itself is ridiculous. If we had known what it would have taken in the beginning, probably would not have started it. But I'm 100% grateful that we were blind to the amount of effort that was going to be required to grow something like this. We're still in the such early stages of all of it, but you know, grateful to have taken those steps.
What's required to actually be accredited to have a certification? Do you just need to show what your content is and if they approve of it?
There's a big approval process and like there's annual fees and stuff like that where they have to kind of, you get approved by them, and then to stay approved by them, you just continue paying them. So it's just like another revenue source for that company. We're all out here for our bread, so whatever. I don't hate on it.
And the continuing education stuff's good because I think a lot of people, or at least a lot of coaches who are looking to maintain their different certifications, can find things like that that's online. And then do them for those points. So it's almost like another selling point for that population as well.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, even for us, like, we don't have continued education points for people to like submit to us. However, we do have a recertification process. So once you graduate, you have a valid certification for 2 years. And then after that, there's a recert process where you have to go through the certification again and show that you're, you know, you have the information in your brain. Mm. So standards.
Nice. So how are you generating leads for that coaching side and even for the athlete side? Because you obviously mentioned social media was big in the beginning. Is social media still your main driver, or are you looking
at? No, we have we have a very cohesive marketing strategy at this point, where now we're using kind of everything. So we're on SEO at this point. Like, we're very intentional about our SEO, where when we first began, we were like so far down on the list, but now we're in top 10, I believe. So we're moving up really nicely at this point. We're focusing.
For what search term are you talking
about? Mobility coaching. We're going to keep focusing on that. However, that's out of my scope of expertise for sure. I don't touch things that I'm not an expert at. But I'm well aware of the effort that we're putting towards it, and it's paying off nicely too. So there's SEO that we're putting efforts towards. We're working on our, like, really focused on our email list at this point as well. And then of course, we're diving more into YouTube, because I think that that's an area that we have a lot of opportunities in, to create a lot of content. So our competitors, I don't really love that term because I don't feel like we really have any competition, but our competitors, or who would be seen as our competitors in the space, have very poor content around education or information in general. So what to do when you're struggling as an athlete, yeah, or what to do when you're struggling as a coach. Our industry is very young. The only biggest company is now Kelly Starrett's company, the Ready State. His stuff is, yeah, his SEO is outrageous, because the content.
Well, he's been going at it for over 10 years. Consistent. You know? Well, he rebranded from Mobility
Watch.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the amount of content he puts up, like the videos and the articles and stuff like that, is next level. And so that's stuff that we're seeing a big opportunity for us as well. So we're leaning into that. But again, now it's like a very cohesive marketing plan where it's coming from all angles as opposed to just strictly Instagram. So now we have TikTok. We're about to start diving into TikTok, YouTube, a lot of YouTube shorts, and we're working our way up into more long form. We're doing written, so a lot of article stuff, and then nice. Instagram and Facebook, as well as email and SEO stuff.
Awesome. So what's the plan with YouTube? And obviously you mentioned shorts going to longer form. Are you looking to start mainly with shorts to start essentially growing an audience because it has more reach, and then go into long form, or are you kind of mixing the both there? And what kind of topics are you covering? Are you teaching mobility exercises on those videos, or is it more educational on certain topics?
Well, right now the long form, the goal with the long form work is to simply appeal to the coaches. So we're not really appealing to the athletes on our YouTube long form specifically. We're focused more on using it as an opportunity to leverage like education. And then the shorts are, yeah, basically just an opportunity to start generating more awareness around our business, our page.
Are you still looking to leverage other people? Like at the beginning, obviously you talked about leveraging other people on social media as well for the brand. Are you still doing that same model, almost like influencer marketing alongside that?
We have lightened the load on that substantially. We were doing quite a bit of that with like an ambassador program that was just too challenging to be successful with, too challenging to nurture appropriately and like provide a solid experience for our ambassadors. So we've tanked that experience, that approach. And now we have like a handful of people that we're working on or working with that are going to be like sponsored athletes in a way, right? But we've kind of taken a step back and realized that the obstacle was always that we didn't have enough attention on our brand. And essentially what it was that we didn't have enough content going out there, enough valuable content going out there. So over the last few months, we've decided to really step that up and step away from influencer marketing and focus more on how we're branding ourselves personally and putting a lot more effort into that. So over the next few months, there's going to be a lot more content from our company going out there, and it's going to be very high quality as well. So that's exciting.
Interesting. Yeah, the brand ambassador stuff, you see a lot of companies going down that road of having ambassadors and things like that. What was the main roadblock that kind of made that difficult to run and difficult to really scale with the business?
I think it's dealing with a lot of people that don't give a shit. And for us as a brand, like, we're highly ethical and we care a lot about the people that come into our company. And to see or have athletes come in, just kind of use the service every, 2 weeks and pretend like they're using it all the time and just like throw up a shitty post that just doesn't really mean anything. It just felt so corny and cheesy and fake. And that wasn't the direction we're trying to go. So for us, it was really more about leaning into who we want to be and who we've always known that we were. And that's a company that truly, truly appreciates relationships and being genuine. So we're not hiding anything. We're not trying to, like, we try to be 100% real with who we are and our voice out there. And that was one of the biggest things, I think, was that was a big challenge. It was dealing with people who just don't care. They're just out there for the money or whatever, Yeah, exactly.
A freebie. So obviously you mentioned you're still sponsoring a few athletes. Do you see that kind of marketing move the needle at all with having, I guess, higher profile names, having the brand on the Instagram accounts or shouting them out on Instagram or whatever it is? Do you find that moves the needle at all compared to the other things?
A few years ago, yes, absolutely, 100%. It definitely helped us gain some credibility behind our name, especially around the coaching side of things. It helped us get our name out there, and it definitely helped us generate some awareness and establish ourselves on mostly Instagram. So there's no denying that it works and it does the job. It's just, is there enough of an ROI for what you're trying to achieve, right? And for us at this point, it's just leaning in a direction that isn't who we want to be. Like, you look at GoWod, Pliability, those two companies, they're really big on sponsoring athletes. And there's no way a smaller company like us is going to compete with that kind of marketing budget for sponsoring athletes. So that's not the direction that's logical for us to be going in. Rather, we should be focusing more on the things that separate us from the industry. And what that is truly giving an experience to people. And so we need to find ways to lean into that. How can we double down on making sure our people have a very well-rounded experience within our company and see that we're not only just information about range of motion, but we're here to educate you and guide you and show you that how you can make lifelong changes for not only yourself, but also your business. And so we're really focused on giving people a bigger picture experience as opposed to what we were early on, was just trying to get our name out there.
You go back down that road eventually if you had the marketing budget to sponsor higher profile athletes and kind of compete against some.
It's a good question. I've thought about that a little bit. We're, as of right now, I don't see us going in that direction in the future. I see us investing more and more and more money into us putting our own content out and just being a hub of mobility training. And I think that's the right direction for us to go ultimately. And then eventually just kind of maybe finding a way to support athletes out there without diving into it from, or like cherry picking from our marketing budget for it. I think that really what's going to help us continue to stand out and continue to revolutionize the industry is to, you know, invest in ourselves and lean on it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one, that whole subject. So I mean, I talked to recently a guy, I mean, he does like multi-million selling sour candy.
That's cool.
And he, I mean, he said people like rap, like full on rappers, G-Eazy, Lil Yachty and stuff, literally post on their stories about the candy, but nothing, you know, nothing happens sales wise, no followers, nothing. These guys have multi-million people following them, right? And then same thing, I was talking to another company and they were going to do an affiliate deal with, I think, a guy in the Major League Baseball, and they were going to give him a certain commission rate. And the guy's like, well, he only works on, you know, 30% plus commissions. What? On sales. Wow. Or this thing. And they're like, okay. They're like, okay, you can set, we'll give you 30%, you know? And he's like a big baseball star, but he was posting on Instagram, wow, sold nothing, you know? And I think the big thing is like, yeah, you can have these influencer stuff that maybe post every now and then, but people who follow these people don't really give a shit about whatever products they're showing. They're following them for them, you know, unless they are the face, mm-hmm, of the brand, or they are, you know, using it constantly. You see them on TV with it, et cetera, then it's a different story. But obviously you're paying a premium if that something's happened. And then you obviously typically can't do it because most people have sponsors for other things, for right, teams and things. So yes, yeah, it's an interesting area around that whole sponsoring people thing.
I'm curious about the MLB star. So what was it? What was the product?
So it's wearable resistance. So they have like calf sleeves, forearm sleeves and stuff, and you can micro load like 50 to 200 grams on certain areas.
Okay.
And so essentially instead of like, it's used mainly in sprinting, but it has applications in combat sports and like rotational sports too, obviously, because you have rotational inertia. So the further away from that pivot point, the more resistance there is, but you're only loading it with like,
right,
100 grams, and you're getting huge increases in forces just from that.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah, they got big things in combat sports and sprinting mainly. A lot of their research is within sprinting, but yeah, it's a funny one. Like, it's a really cool product. I'm gonna start doing some stuff with it myself, but like, yeah, the fact that someone who's so big can't sell it. Well, I mean, mm-hmm, the thing is as well, well, with a lot of the athletes, they're not there selling. Like, they're not selling their
they're
thing.
Just they're just showing, like, oh, they're I got
using this. Or just, yeah, or just showing it or tagging it or whatever. And people are just scrolling, like, whatever.
Right.
Or they might check it out. But there's nothing of substance behind it.
Yeah. My thoughts around it are essentially, like, who's the demographic that's following that individual and what's the product, right? Like, the person following the MLB star, dude probably is in good shape, relatively handsome, or at least he's, you know what I mean? So like, who's following them and who's paying attention to what they're doing, right? So exactly. So the rappers, right? The individuals that are following a rapper, what do they want, right? So they want to essentially feel cool. And like, that's the type of demographic that somebody, or like, that's the interest behind the demographic of who's following a rapper. So when it comes to candy, I don't see a benefit in getting somebody like a rapper, but maybe somebody who has a really high following, who's like a chef or something like that, I could see that being a little bit more of an appropriate collaboration. But I think like, for a rapper, something like a clothing brand is just more logical. That seems to make more sense. Like, if you're a clothing brand that's genuinely cool, you're probably going to make some sales off of a rapper talking about that brand, right? So it's like, who are you talking to? Who's the demographic that's following them, and what are their interests through the follow? Why are they following this person? And I think if you can get a like understanding around that, it becomes easier to play that influencer game. But at the same time, it's totally hit and miss. Like, some things, like, and also how nurtured is their audience? That's a huge thing. Like, we've worked with people who have tiny audiences that just generate far more leads for us than people with stupid numbers behind them. And it's because like, those people with stupid numbers are constantly just pushing random shit that they're getting a paycheck from, whereas the other people who have a smaller following are genuinely nurturing their things. They're connecting with people in the DMs, they're speaking to their stories, and they're connecting with their audience. Those people sell really well because people care, they feel connected to that person, and they trust them. So It's a whole game, man. Like the influencer thing, because some things can work really well, and then some things just they shit the bed.
Yeah, it's tough too. It's tough too, because obviously it's a hamster wheel of getting, depending on the influencer marketing you're doing, but getting the content back from influencers, having them film and post content all the time, having to make sure they do it, having to find new influencers so you're not just burning the same ones over and over again, so you can reach more people. It's like a whole business in itself just trying to do that. And then run everything else.
One company that I see that I think does it really well, and I think it's quite a successful venture for them, is Toastspacers. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that company.
Oh, yeah.
They're big in the CrossFit space.
I'm familiar with Toastspacers, but I haven't seen any of their marketing.
Okay, well, the Toastspacers, the company. I know Toastspacers are like a product themselves, but the company named Toastspacers, they're huge in the CrossFit space, and they work with, you know, every athlete under the sun in CrossFit. So, and it seems like they're doing quite well.
But it's kind of like TYR, that brand now, right? I mean, they're on every CrossFitter's clothing. They're now branching into weightlifting.
You see them on they're doing really well.
So, and they're relatively new as well, at least from what I know.
Yeah, that's Danielle Brandon's company, right? Like, or she's affiliated in some way.
I'm not sure whose company it is, but it's only been the last year or two that it's really kind of like
it's
branched onto the
up.
Scene, and then they've gone heavily influencer as part of their marketing. Obviously, it's probably cost them a ton.
For sure. Yeah, no kidding.
They're probably reaping it now.
Well, I think the CrossFit space is generally for services and then products like clothing and shoes especially are going to do really well in the CrossFit space. So if you can, and I think that's why we did so well early on with the influencer things, is because we were doing something that not a lot of people have ever heard of or seen. And in the CrossFit space, it's needed. So if you look at who's following athletes in the CrossFit space, like a big CrossFit athlete that ends up on the podium, it's generally people who are passionate about CrossFit, and those people are usually doing CrossFit. So those people are experiencing the same issues and need services like what we're offering. And then, you know, every CrossFitter has a shoe addiction. So if you're a shoe company and you partner with CrossFit influencers, you're going to do well, I think.
I think the awesome thing about you going into that audience too is CrossFitters generally have money. It's almost like the higher ticket of strength sports. If you try to target powerlifting, or even weightlifting to an extent, you're targeting essentially the poor people of strength sports. But by targeting CrossFit is like the upper market. It's like the Beverly Hills
That's
of strength
hilarious.
Sports because gym memberships, you know, it's like $250 to $400 a month a lot for CrossFit classes. I mean, some people pay even more. There are some CrossFit gyms that charge a shit ton depending on
it's
what
kind
it
of
is.
Ridiculous.
And then the coaching on top of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. But these people have the money and they, you know, it's a good audience to go after.
I agree. They at least aren't afraid to spend it all on CrossFit stuff. It's almost like a cult. Like people, and don't get me wrong, because I'm passionate about CrossFit as well, but people in the CrossFit space are not afraid to just throw so much money into it because it's kind of like an all-encompassing thing. Like you need good shoes. It's like weightlifting in a way, but there's a whole movement around it. Like there's movies, documentaries around it, and they focus a lot on the community aspect. And if one person at the community gets a new pair of shoes and they're raving about it, everyone else needs to get the pair. You know what I mean? So it's wild. It's a whole game as like from an entrepreneurial perspective. It's like, how can you leverage these things while also delivering like a really passion focused experience for you as the business owner? Because we're all out there for a coin.
Then we're gonna have a lot of people going. We're gonna have a lot of people going to the CrossFit niche after this podcast, trying to monetize it, trying to monetize that niche after we talked it up. But you also talked about CrossFit. Yeah, CrossFit does have a big community. That's one of the draws of, I guess, of the activity in the sport. But you've started building a Facebook community. Building a community part of the beginning of Primal Mobility, or is that something you've recently started as part of the business, and why start a free Facebook group?
We have done many different things in terms of community. So we've built multiple different communities across the board over the years. And that's something that is very much a long-term play. We now understand the value behind community. And that's something that you see in things like CrossFit, which is such a successful methodology, is one of the biggest things is the community. People continue to show up because they want to suffer with someone else while also being cool in some way. You know what I mean? So if other sports were able to leverage that, they would do really, really well, I think. And so we've kind of adopted that ourselves, is to create a community to help us leverage trust. And that's the entire approach behind it, is that we know that what we're doing is, it's a new concept, and we're trying to present a new concept to the market, which can be very challenging for people to wrap their head around quickly. So we know that we need to do everything that we can to help our audience trust us faster. And the way we need to do that, or one of the ways at least, is to deliver high value and infrequently ask for anything in return. And then also create community and show people that we're here to help and we're here to guide you and show you that we give a shit about this industry and we're very passionate about what we do. And I think that that's something that really fosters that trust in a big way. And again, it's a long-term play. So those things are hard to stay consistent with because you don't see immediate results from your actions. And so that's more of like a mental game where you're like, oh, I'm giving people all this free shit and, you know, they don't appreciate it. But over time, you start to see the same people coming back and those people are referring people over to the group and the community starts to grow and more people are engaging and asking questions and doing the things that you suggest. And then they hop in and start hiring you because they've seen some level of results with you in the past and they trust you because you're still there. Right. So that's been the effort.
Have you been able to gain any new clients from that group already, or is it still building?
It's definitely still building. It's in the early stages. So we're not seeing a crazy amount of like inbound leads from it yet. We've also recently just structured a strategy around it. Before it was just, let's build it up. No strategy. Just offer value. Let's see what happens. But we've recently started to get a little bit more organized and strategic around our approach to actually monetize it. But yeah, we've seen a few leads come from it, like here and there, things will pop up. But it's a long term play for us. We're just starting to figure out what the right approach is for our company, because there's countless different ways that you can monetize a group, right? Depending on the service you provide and how warm the audience is and how established the concept of your service is, right? Like what we're doing is trying to bring something brand new to the market, and people are like, why would I need a mobility coach? So we're trying to show people, this is why you fucking need us. Like everybody struggles with pain at some point, and most people don't have, they also struggle with finding sufficient and quality support around that pain, other than like a massage therapist or a PT. And these things get really expensive over time, right? So we're bringing that to the market where we can support you and give you a shit ton of knowledge around how to support yourself in the future at the same time.
For people listening who want to maybe start their own Facebook group for their site, how did you get it kickstarted? Because obviously when you start a group, you have zero people. It's hard for people to find your group organically. So what were you able to do to get it growing and then continuing to snowball?
Well, I'll speak directly to service-based companies. I'm not sure how valuable of an effort this would be towards product-based companies. So I won't touch on that because that's aside from what we do, right? But the big way that we did it, if we hosted a couple free challenges, and that was just like a way to funnel people into the group and offer value directly within the group in that regard. So it was an easy way to build up our community quite quickly. And then from there, people are asking questions and they're doing the work. And it's just like it's a vibrant community right off the bat. And if you can continue to sustain that, I think that goes a very long way. So that was how we did it early on. And then now everyone that follows us, we have a setter in place to essentially our social media girl, Skyla. She reaches out to all of our new followers and just says, hey, if you want additional information, like you're following us on Instagram for mobility content, if you want more support and more information and some guides and resources, come over to our group on Facebook. Like, we'll take better care of you over here. And so we're like, everything's a big funnel now. We're trying to get as strategic as possible around the company.
How did you get that out to the initial people? Is that just through your email list or and social, like posting on your social, like other socials?
No, dude, my first challenge, it was chaotic and unorganized as hell. It was all just done through social media, or the interest behind it was all generated through my Instagram. And then we just did a pop-up Facebook group. And from there, we've done like countless challenges that we just trashed the groups. It was only the last like one or two that we used to actually just hold on to the community. So early on, it was just through our social media. And if I do it all over again, it would obviously be a more cohesive approach where we'd be doing our email lists and stuff like that. But yeah.
But dude, that's such a good idea, that free challenge idea. I've just got ideas spinning in my head now on how I could potentially leverage something like that. It's solid. I mean, it's such an easy way for someone to start. It doesn't really matter the niche. There's something you could do in that and have a follower. I mean, someone could, like woodworking. There's a lot of woodworking Facebook pages because there's a big affiliate program. And you could do like a woodworking challenge, a free challenge, follow along every week. A video of you doing, I don't know, something in the garage and people post there what they're doing with their progress, building their birdhouse or whatever. Like, there's so much you could do there.
It's funny you say that because I was talking to one of our family members who's quite creative and likes to do all this funky shit and wants to build his own business. I was talking to him maybe a couple of years ago after we had ran a quite successful challenge that generated quite a bit of revenue afterwards. And he builds skateboards, like longboards, and he also builds guitars. And he was saying that like, this is just such a fun passion project for him. It takes quite a bit of time, but it's just such an interesting experience and it brings him a lot of joy and purpose. Like he loves the process. And so I was telling him like, if you created some kind of challenge around that, like build your first guitar, build your first longboard and just like gave like a package of, this is the resources, like this is the materials you need, this is whatever. And there's like blueprints that you created and then a follow along video of instructionals like how to do it. You could make a killing doing that. And he was obviously that's a lot of work to build up right from the ground. It's not something that'll be easy. But once you like, I could see that blowing up and doing an amazing job. But
and once you do it once,
right, done. Exactly.
You just keep repeating, rinse and repeat.
100%. And all you have to do is kind of answer questions at that point. But we're passionate and driven and ambitious people that see a lot of ideas, and some of these ideas scare people away. You know?
Too many.
100%, yeah. Too many.
Too many ideas. It's just shiny object syndrome all day, every day. That's
yeah, it's helpful to have someone around you, that like reels you back in. You're like, they're like, dude, like I love that you're ambitious and you have big ideas, but like slow the fuck down. You're going way too far for no reason right now.
Have you thought about being an affiliate for maybe products you recommend or things like that within even your written content or YouTube? So it's like another monetization source outside of the services. So it's something that's essentially really passive.
Yeah. So we have like it's funny actually, we have a code with Toe Spacers. We just don't use it. Like we just recommend that people try certain things. And if we don't believe it's needed, then we just don't, you know what I mean? So it's definitely something I've thought of in the past, like, hey, we could probably have like a group, like maybe 5 to 10 products that we genuinely agree with that we can make some money off of. But at the end of the day, we're really, really focused on just like keeping the main thing. And our main energy is towards just creating and providing like an overall great experience. And I just don't have the energy to go and try to make these relationships with these companies at this point.
Fair enough. I think that's everything I wanted to ask you on this podcast, Matt. But if people want to find you, follow your business, see what you're doing, maybe get in contact with you because they're in pain, where can they do that?
You can just check us out on our website. So you could go to primalmobility.com. You could go to our Instagram, which is, as we've talked about at this point, is probably our most established social media. So you're going to see a lot of cool content going on over there, which is primal.mobility. And you can always reach out to us at any point through that. So go to our website, shoot us an email, or go to our Instagram and shoot us a DM, and we'll point you in the right direction.
Perfect. Matt, well, thanks for coming on and sharing all that, Matt. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me, man. This was fun. Enjoyable.